Hello, listeners. Been a bit.
Yeah. About that.
Welcome to the First Person Podcast Simulator. My name is Zach, and joining me is
Mike.
And as I'm sure you could tell, you know, we're college students. Mm-hmm. Get pretty busy,
mm-hmm.
mostly with school-related things, which you know, a lot has happened in the last month and a half.
So much.
So what we've talked briefly about sort of why we've been busy, but not really into the nitty gritty. So what have you been up to, like finishing up your last month and a half of the semester?
Yeah. Like this semester as a whole has been like my worst, busiest semester.
Oh yeah.
I don't know why, but that's the way it feels. I think that's probably partly because, I had more in my pile of things to do than usual because of that producer job that I took at the campus TV station.
Yeah.
So in addition to any homework, I also have to, you know, produce a bunch of stuff.
I was wondering, so that is like, isn't entirely like academic related. That's just kind of a thing that happens to be a job on the school's premises
yeah.
that you have. Okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So what do you do in that job sort of, just to sum it up?
It's pretty cool, actually. It's basically just making funny videos and then putting them on the air.
Oh, okay. So you are literally producing things.
Yeah, yeah. It's, okay, so the difference between, like, a real world producer and a producer in the sense that I'm a producer is that we have to do everything. We write, we film, we act, we edit, everything. Whereas a real-world producer is like, here's some money, make it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But this is what I want to do, so that's real cool.
That is really cool. What are some examples of the sort of videos that you've been creating then?
Well, we tried one of my ideas, because it's me and one other person, my co-producer, Brooke, has also been helping me out.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my ideas was this like fake news show called On the Desk.
Okay.
And it just was not really funny.
Oh.
It was pretty terrible. So we switched to like doing skits instead, and that was great. We did actually part of the last episode of On the Desk that we did was a Halloween special skit, and that was really fun. And my favorite thing that we've created though is a skit called Camera Wars.
Ooh, okay.
Which is like the basic premise of it is, like, we both have these DSLR cameras, and we're pretending they're guns. and so we're just running around the school having this big shootout, and it was a lot of fun.
Nice. That's cool. I've always kind of wondered how I would do in, like, that sort of, not exactly a writer's position, but kind of mm-hmm. just a brainstorming, coming up with, like, skits and stuff.
It's
sort
hard.
Of position. I bet it's incredibly
it's
hard.
It's crazy hard.
I bet it's especially tough knowing how much... Like, we have so much more exposure to, like, original content now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That it's hard to come up with something that you feel is satisfying, like, wholesomely your own idea
yeah.
in a very satisfying kind of way.
Yeah, I would really agree with that. The, yeah. like, 90% of the stuff that we make is, like, stuff that we thought of at the last minute, and while we weren't actually thinking of ideas, we were just dicking around with something.
That sounds about right. I mean, I feel like you get your best ideas when you're not really trying to, or I know I get my best ideas mm-hmm. when I'm not really trying to think about ideas. Like they just sort of fall into my lap.
Yeah, totally. I think that's why I get most of my ideas in the shower.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Cause it's like, you're totally just at ease.
Yeah. You're at ease.
Silence. It's just you and your brain.
Right. And it's one of the few moments where you are truly by yourself. You know, you are
yeah.
not by other people. There are no screens by you.
Mm-hmm. Depending on, you know, what you're into.
That, well, yes.
That's cool, too. but, yeah, we were just, we were like, oh, man, we got to make something. And then Brooke grabs these cameras, and we were just playing around with them. And then we just, like, jokingly start shooting at each other, and we're like, oh, my God, get a camera. This is a great idea. And it became a thing, and it was really cool.
That's excellent.
But, yeah, so that's partly why I've been really busy. And then the last month and a half has just been this crazy rush to finish everything before finals. So I had a 10-page paper in mass media law, which I ended up not doing.
How much percentage-wise is that worth?
I have no idea, because this guy just gives everybody Bs.
Fuck
so, I ended up reusing a paper that I wrote for one of my other media classes two years ago, and I got a B-plus in that class, so apparently it didn't matter.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do, man.
That's right. There was another paper for my Search for Faith class.
Did you find it?
Update, I did not.
Oh.
The search was not fruitful. I'm sorry, guys. So sad.
We were really counting on you to just find that faith.
I know, I'm sorry. That's probably why I got a C, because I didn't find it.
Spread it amongst the community. But you passed, though.
That's true, yeah. I passed. And I think the paper that I wrote for the end was pretty interesting, I thought. It was, the Buddhist Nirvana and the Christian Salvation the same thing by different names? I said no. So, yeah. And then there was just a bunch of other stuff for, like, my cultural diversity class. There was this 60-question, 11-page take-home final.
Oh, woof.
And just a bunch of other stuff. Yeah.
My sort of last few weeks so I went on, I went on that San Francisco trip.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was really fucking cool.
Awesome.
As it turns out, I really dig flying.
Oh, yeah?
A decent amount. Yeah. I mean, when it's not for like hours on end, because I think the flight was only like Chicago to California. It was maybe about 4 to 5 hours.
Okay. Yeah. That's not
which
bad.
Could be a lot worse.
Oh, yeah.
But I flew with Virgin, and an interesting thing that they have is they've got these small TV displays that are built into the back of every seat so that every passenger gets their own TV. And it's pretty cool. It's not, like, super crazy good technology or anything, but, like, they've got, like, a dozen and a half channels you can just watch, like, TV from shitty games that I did not play because they were not... these are like, these seemed like a few years ago when cell phones were starting to try and get games on them, but they weren't smartphones, so
oh,
they
God.
Were just like, it's like, hey, shitty version of Snake. So
how do you like, make Snake shitty?
Yeah, right. But it was weird because it also had like, the TVs each also had these like chat room functions, because you have your TV and you have your remote, and on the back of your remote it's like a small QWERTY keyboard. And you can do this other function where you're watching TV while chatting with someone on the plane, and you could like send drinks and snacks to other like seats. If you knew like the seats that people were in, you could like pay for them and order snacks and drinks on your own TV so that they would come to you. It was very interesting. It was neat.
It's weird.
It is. Anyways though, California was neat.
Good.
San Francisco was unseasonably cold, actually.
Oh.
And that's weird to say coming from around here, obviously. You know, I hear people bitching, like, all the time from California. It's like, oh, man, it's, like, fucking 50. It's freezing over here. I'm like, you don't even understand my life.
I would kill for 50 degrees.
Right. No, but strangely enough, it was, like, high 30s and pretty windy there. So that was... Yeah, it did. It really did. Other than that, though, the conference itself was pretty neat. I found out a lot of things about acoustics that I was not even... like certain about, or like wasn't even sure existed.
Cool.
Like I ran into a dude at a diner who was there for the conference, and he studied, his PhD was based around the sort of like seismic ground acoustics basically of volcanoes.
Whoa.
So he went to Mount St. Helens when it was erupting a couple of years ago and just did studies on that. So he studies volcano acoustics.
That's awesome.
I know. I did not even know that was a thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So you can do a lot with this field, then.
It's got a weird sort of... The applications are varied. That's certain. So you can go to, like, a bioacoustics where you are shooting very... high focused acoustical waves at like tumors and stuff to try and reduce the size of them. And, I mean, again, like studying like acoustics effects, like traveling through ground and stuff. There was one study that we like saw that was like a train going through a tunnel with shitty rails, and it was causing the way it was like in Seattle. So, you know, the way that the ground is there, that there's like a lot of fucking ice in it. Mm-hmm. And I guess that was a factor in causing the sound to, like, bounce around into people's homes, and people were like, yeah, it sounds like there are just bowling balls being dropped in my basement and in my living room. So,
Jesus.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I swapped a couple of business cards with some really cool dudes. There was a guy there who was making he was helping develop a video game to help teach both the Navy and, like, new students about how underwater acoustics work.
Huh.
And actually, like, actively using game theory to help, like, solidify the concepts. It's actually going to be coming out on Steam next year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that's crazy. That's
pretty awesome.
I got that dude's card. He's neat.
Nice.
But yeah, we went to an incredibly ritzy fucking hotel that was way too nice for me to ever be in or, like, exist by. It was neat. Anyways, though, so that that whole trip, that lasted from, like, Monday to Friday of the week before finals week.
Mm.
And so that put me in a very interesting position coming back, relaxing at the concert, having a lot of things to get done my finals week. So coming back on Friday, I had... Monday, I had to do a makeup quiz for numerical. Tuesday night was a presentation, and I had to get a take-home quiz taken care of for a class. Wednesday morning, I had an HVAC project due, which is the sort of heating, ventilation, air conditioning class I'm taking.
Right.
And another take-home quiz for that class in the morning. And then in the afternoon of Wednesday, I had a research journal to get finished, as well as a makeup paper. Thursday was a final. Friday was a final.
Mm.
It was an absolutely mad scramble, let me tell you.
It sounds like it.
But I pulled an all-nighter. I didn't sleep very much that whole week. And I did as well as I could. I think I failed my numerical analysis class. Not failed, just not passed. Like, I didn't fucking get an F in the class. But under a C- is pretty realistic.
Wow.
So we'll see what happens with that. Because it's a situation I never run into before. I do well with math. It's just, I don't know if I just have to talk to, like, my chair and he'll be like, so what happened? Is everything okay? And they'll be like, okay, so you got to pick it up next semester. And they just, like, fucking wave it and, like, let me go through. Because I know I'm not the only one getting lower than a C- in that class. Because the way it's structured is just such fucking bullshit. But anyways... Yeah, so we've been pretty busy.
Yeah.
In the meantime, though, you have recently acquired something pretty special.
Oh yes, I have.
Tell us what it is.
So on Black Friday, my sister and I went out, and one of our stops was GameStop. Where I purchased the gold and black Zelda Link Between Worlds combo 3DS XL thing.
Which is so fucking nice.
It's really pretty. It's like, it's got the Triforce on it, and it's gold and black on the bottom, and it's... I love it.
It is very nice, and you've... It's
so much.
You know, appropriately, you have been playing Link Between Worlds.
Yes. Oh my god, and it's so great. I am so satisfied.
So you've been around the block. You've played a couple of Zelda games, and you've definitely played A Link to the Past. So what have they done differently, and what is good, what is bad? Tell me about it.
Okay, so A Link to the Past is my favorite Zelda game of all time.
It's my favorite 2D one.
I think it's the first one I ever played.
Actually, same. It might be the same here. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Huh. Well, that makes sense because of our generation.
Yeah, our age. Yeah.
But yeah, so Link Between Worlds is very similar to A Link to the Past. It's basically a direct sequel, and it takes place in the exact same world. There are some changes to the locations and the order in which you do things.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest change is how you acquire items, though. Like, items that you would normally acquire in dungeons, like the bow and the hookshot and stuff like that. Instead of acquiring them in the dungeon that you, like, need them for, you can rent or buy them from this dude who sets up shop in your house, whose name is Ravio, and he's just got all of these items. He's got the bow, he's got the hookshot, he's got the fire, ice, and sand rods, and...
there's a sand rod now?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's, like, a whole dungeon... The puzzles are amazing. So, like, yeah, instead of just acquiring them, you can rent them, and if you, like, it's cheaper to rent them than it is to buy them, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And if you rent them and then you die in a dungeon, Ravio takes those things back.
Okay.
And you have to go back and rent them again. And then, yeah. So if you buy them, they are yours forever, and you can, like, upgrade them with this other little side quest that you can do with these little creatures, which is kind of... There was a way to, like, upgrade the bow and the boomerang in Link to the Past, right?
Yeah, you would go to, a very specific fairy fountain located underneath a waterfall or something, and you throw your items and be like, hey, did you drop this, idiot? And you're like, yeah, I did. She's like, let me upgrade that for you.
Right, yeah. So it's kind of different, but that's still present, and the order of the dungeons is different, but a lot of the bosses are the same. And
really?
I actually really like that. I think it's really cool. Like, you know, there's... The mechanics of how you beat them is slightly different because you're on a 3DS.
Okay, and, that's cool.
And
I would assume it takes into account some of the new mechanics. Like, hopefully you need to use that becoming a drawing feature to defeat some of the bosses, perhaps.
Totally, yeah. Especially, like, the main bad dude, whose name is Luga, I think. And they're the one who, like, turns you into a painting. Spoilers.
Mm, okay.
But yeah, you become a painting pretty, fairly early in the game.
I would assume so.
So yeah. And then it's like, the beginning of the game is pretty much the same. You are looking for the three pendants, and then you go to the forest, and you get the Master Sword. And then you go into, the Dark World, and the Dark World is actually, there's a reason for it being... like the same map as Hyrule, and that is that it's this other kingdom called Lowrule. Yeah, I know.
I still cannot
get
over that.
Which has a princess, Hilda, instead of Zelda.
Is she ugly? Is she really ugly? Because that would be great.
No.
Oh, I wish she was just like a witch.
That'd be great. The witch is still in the game, though.
Like, yes.
Remember the little witch's house?
Yeah. Potions. She's much more prevalent in this one, because you actually
totally
get, like, items from her, as opposed to optional ones, I think, now.
Yeah, you can get the usual life potions from her, or you can get a potion that makes you invincible for a certain amount of time, and one that damages the enemies around you, which is pretty cool.
Cool. So I'm wondering, I feel like the big thing of the last, like... you know, handful of Zelda games
mm-hmm.
haven't had is that it's a very linear kind of experience. Not that I've played the last few. I couldn't go through, like, Skyward Sword or Twilight Princess
mm-hmm.
at all. I played the first few hours and I dropped it just because it wasn't fun or interesting to me.
Yeah.
Which is not exactly fair, but that's what happened. But they've said that their focus for this one is to make it feel more adventurous and more open world, similar to how Link to the Past was, like, sort of felt initially.
Yeah, absolutely. It is absolutely that. They totally have succeeded in making it feel that way. I have no idea what order they wanted me to complete the dungeons in, but I completed them in whatever order I wanted.
That's fantastic. And that was another thing too. Like the big news thing before it came out was that. Like, that whole, that item system, the renting and buying of the item system,
mm-hmm.
totally sequence-breaking the game.
Yeah, that's totally what enabled you to do the dungeons in whatever order, because, like before, if you wanted to go up on Death Mountain first, you couldn't do that, because an item you wanted was in a different dungeon. But now, because you can just rent that item from somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
you can totally do that if you want.
I don't believe that you can do things in different orders in Link to the Past, can you?
No, there's probably some stuff that you can't do.
I know for sure that you need stuff from the second dungeon to get to the third.
Yeah. And it is still kind of that way because, for the Titan Mitt, which is the thing you need to, like, lift big rocks,
mm-hmm.
that's still in a dungeon.
Okay.
So there is still kind of a linear path in that
sense,
but...
Sure.
You know, a lot of the other stuff is really broken up.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to do that to an extent. I mean, it would be kind of tough mm-hmm. to design it in such a way to where everything was, like, 100% sequence broken. But it's cool. Like, Sean likes it a lot. There are a lot of people who really, really dig it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Destructor actually gave it like a 6.5, like, which is one of the lower ones I think I've seen.
Huh.
I know.
I saw on, I think Polygon gave it a 9.5. And I think GameSpot did that too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty well received.
Yeah,
I hope to get it for Christmas. I don't know if that'll happen.
Awesome. And there's this cool Street Pass thing where you can fight each other's Shadow Links for rupees. It's really cool.
The way that that's been described to me is so like you go to this dude and you set up your Shadow Link.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever your like current stats are in terms of like hearts and magic and stuff, and you choose two items for them to use.
Right.
So you create this AI essentially, and when you Street Pass people, that Shadow Link goes into the world of the person that you've Street Pass, assuming that they have the game, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And they get the choice to fight them for a like bounty, essentially.
Yeah.
And that's good because I guess rupees are actually useful in this game as opposed to...
Well, yeah. That's one of the things I've noticed is that there are a ton of rupees everywhere. Like, there are so many chests where it's like, you found a silver rupee. It's worth 100 rupees. Here you go.
Mm.
And there are a bunch of gold rupees everywhere, which are 300. And rupees are much more plentiful than they were in Link to the Past. And that's necessary because you have to continually rent and buy these items.
Yeah.
So they totally support that, and that's great that they, like, understood that they had to do that.
They're Wind Wakering the, or I don't know if you've played that yet, but there, you get fucked. You need fuck tons of rupees in that game for the end game, because the part of the end game that a lot of people complain about is that you need to get these charts deciphered by Tingle,
mm-hmm.
and you need to pay a fee for each of those.
Yeah.
And then that's where the Triforce hunting, like, peace hunting starts. I don't know if you knew about that part.
Kind of. I kind of heard about it, but...
Yeah. But, yeah, that's cool. I'm, again, very excited to get my hands on it eventually.
So, yeah, it definitely feels very open and adventurous, and I would say it's the best Zelda that I've played since Ocarina of Time.
That's good, because that one's not very good.
I forget you don't like Ocarina of Time.
It's not so much that I don't like it. I think I like it less than a lot of other people do. I replayed it on the 3DS. I did it. I went, well, okay, that's probably the last time I'll be playing that ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Like, there's nothing particularly bad about it. There's some parts I don't like. It's not as a fun of experience as it is for me to play, like, A Link to the Past or Wind Waker or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think if I had the choice between A Link to the Past or Ocarina of Time, I would play Link to the Past.
Yeah. I don't know why, either. It's just there's something... I just dig that game so
I know.
Much.
I just love it.
Yeah. I started a file recently that you saw, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
I named my character Balls.
Yeah.
So that'll be funny.
That's cool.
That's what cool kids are doing. Yeah. So what else has been going on? What else have you been playing?
Well, I mean, not much over the semester because Jesus Christ.
Yeah, sure.
But I did get a chance at one point to start playing Mass Effect.
And this is the first one, right?
Yes. Because I've never played any of them. And so I did record that. And once I have some more, I'm going to start throwing it up as a Let's Play.
Cool.
Because that'll be cool. It's pretty cool so far. You know, it's like a good giant RPG that I can sink my fangs into.
Yeah, just wait until you start like interacting with the characters and stuff too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Cuz that's where it really starts sucking you in. I mean, it is kind of like they made a sci-fi show into a game essentially.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. And I mean, it's BioWare, so like
Right. That's what they do. And I hope for you to finish this over Christmas break and then start too. Because I just want you to, I want to talk with you about like all of the good necessary changes between the first and the second one. Because I can't really like specify in terms of like, oh, mechanics or this or that. Partially because I don't remember all the good changes, but like you will know it immediately when you start playing it.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so, it's... That's what people commonly say. Like, one isn't fantastic in terms of having fun, but it's worth playing it to see the differences between the first and the second one.
Yeah.
Because you get used to the first one, then you start playing the second one, and you're just like, holy shit, this is great.
Hmm.
So.
Okay, well, now I didn't really want to see that.
Well, yeah, I mean, not to belittle the first one, it's good, but I understand people having qualms with it compared to two.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about that one.
I have so many games I want to finish over winter break, though. I want to finish Fez. I want to finally finish Sword and Sorcery, which I still haven't finished.
How have you know?
I know, right? It's been my tablet this whole time.
I want to, like, strangle you, because I've got so many of these small games.
You just strangle me.
It's like, you just, dude, just, like, a few more out. Like, because you haven't finished Hotline Miami either, and that's not incredibly long.
Oh, God, I'm adding that to the list now. Fuck.
There you go.
And I really want to get my hands on Spelunky.
Yeah, dude, I want to install that, because I think my computer can run that. I'm pretty sure.
I hope so.
Me too. We got to start doing daily challenge stuff, because I've heard, there's like the regular, I'm not sure how the modes work in that, but daily challenges, essentially you get like a laid out dungeon, and whoever gets the highest score gets bragging rights on a leaderboard, and
that's cool.
That's just fun. Sounds great to me. So.
Cool beans.
Yeah, buy that, man. I'm sure when the Christmas sale starts up, that'll be on there.
When do you think that'll be? Like next week?
I feel like it'll start on the 20th. That's what I'm going to say.
Like something they usually do.
Yeah, it's going to start on a Friday.
That makes sense.
Go into the weekend before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And probably last until like... I don't know how long those usually last. I feel like it'll last until maybe... At the earliest, like stop the 27th or something.
Okay.
Or maybe on the 29th after the like Christmas weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm predicting.
Okay. And yeah, I'm just waiting for that.
Everyone will lose all their money.
Right. Oh God, my money.
Yeah. So let's see. I have not been playing too much. But I think what I haven't really talked about that much is the new Pokemon, because I think we did a podcast where I just had acquired it.
I think so.
And I don't know how. I hadn't really sunk my teeth into it that much.
So,
anyone who plays Pokemon know that there's a lot changed up with this one compared to the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it essentially takes. It was super smart what they did. They made the regular campaign very short. So that you can get to the end game and start doing all the cool things that like hardcore Pokemon fans do without having to deal with all the bullshit that they had to deal with in the previous games.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, breeding is a lot easier. Getting eggs from doing like breeding stuff is a lot easier. EV training your Pokemon has been turned into a really fun mini game so that like you can up their stats when they're like very, you know, early on. And that's awesome. You were there the other day when I started going Eevee crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I've got like 7 male Eevees now.
Yeah.
And I need to figure out the best characteristics that result in the best stats for each of the individual evolutions that I want. I've got 5 eggs that I need to hatch that are all Eevees.
You're a crazy person.
I've gone Eevee crazy.
Yes.
And the thing is, I've been able to do all of that. I only have 2 badges. I have 2 badges.
Damn.
So that sort of gives you an idea of how they've just... I don't know. I don't want to... It seems like what they're doing with this is a little bit similar to what they are doing with, like... I don't know, Animal Crossing or A Link to the Past, in terms of they're streamlining it so that, like, things are available to you earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Like, people usually, like, a lot of people think of streamlining as, like, a very negative thing, but Nintendo has been doing a good job of doing that with a lot of their, like, classic games.
Yeah, and the way they've done it, it's like, most of it is just, like, backtracking from bullshit that they put in that was just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, the last few Zelda games have been, like, hours of tutorials and really hand-holdy and just annoying, and mm-hmm. Link Between Worlds just dropped all that.
Right.
So, it's like, they're... streamlining by going back to what people want the games to be.
Yeah, right. And they're like they're realizing some of the small inconveniences of their previous games, and they're correcting those, and that's great. That's mm-hmm. precisely what they need to do. I mean, I will say that Pokemon is still very hand-holdy. Like, mm-hmm. it takes a bit for like the NPCs to stop being like, hey, do you know how to catch a Pokemon? It's like, yes, I have a team right here. But once you get past that, I don't know. I might not have gotten past that. Again, I'm on my way to get my third badge,
mm-hmm.
but it still has elements of that. But I feel like after you break that and after you start like you know, really making teams and paying attention to like fun stat stuff, you get fucking obsessed. And that's what Christmas break is going to be for me.
Mm-hmm. Good times.
But yeah, I haven't really played that much otherwise. Did I mention that? I think I mentioned to you that other small game that I played, that game that cost like $1.50.
Castles in the Sky.
Yeah, did we talk about that already?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. Well, anyway, we definitely did. Yeah, we threw a link up, I think, in the last podcast.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Okay.
I bought that, but I still haven't played it.
That will take you 20 minutes.
Cool.
At the most. That's if you suck at video games, that'll take you 20 minutes. And you don't.
Awesome.
Again, that's another one that you should just knock out.
Yeah. Gotta add that to the list now. Fuck.
Your list is just growing, sir.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of stuff we played, though, we also, this weekend, played some games on the SNES.
Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite.
Oh, my God.
My favorite was Spider-Man and the X-Men in Arcade's Revenge.
Oh, yes. So why don't you explain your experience with that, then?
Okay. It went something like this. Get ready, Spider-Man! And then I was ready. And then the cartridge froze, and we had to put it back in. And then I was ready again, as Spider-Man. And then I ran toward a thing, and it shot me in the face. And then I shot it with, like, a bunch of webs. And then I faced the wall, and pressed a button, and suddenly all my limbs were attached to the wall.
Yeah, because you're Spider-Man.
Right, exactly. That's just how it happens. And it makes this great sound. I wish we could play it.
It's like ba-dump.
Yeah, it's like, why would he make that sound? And he makes the best sound when he dies. that's pretty much exactly it, yeah. It's just the worst.
And you yourself can pick it up off Amazon for a whopping $4.50.
Yeah. Also, that's how much you can sell it for.
Yes.
I tried to download it yesterday to show my sister what it was. But
were there no ROMs available because it's a piece of shit?
No, there were. It just, I don't know, it didn't want to do for some reason.
That's weird.
I waited like 10 minutes and I was like, you know what? I don't care enough about this game to sit here and try to fix it. So.
No, it's atrocious. The whole, you go around arbitrarily collecting like little sensor things for points that don't matter.
Yeah, I didn't understand what that was.
No,
there's I never understood the premise.
No. The premise is, sucks.
I guess. Because, boy, does it ever.
Yeah, and we also played Lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
This old game so it's like supposed to be trying like a top-down RPG
mm-hmm.
thing. And it just throws you into this town, and you have no I guess the water around the town is being muddy, which is...
Yeah, didn't you pay attention to the seven different people who told you the story?
Yeah.
The three-sentence story?
What was it Lake Town? Lakeland?
Lakeland, yeah.
Yeah, the town of Lakeland's water is getting muddy, which means demons are afoot, obviously.
It's just mud, guys. Calm down.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So that was fucking terrible. Combat was not fun, and it was, yeah.
You just went through the first dungeon just walking past all the enemies.
Yeah.
You didn't have to pay attention to them.
And they didn't have to pay attention to me, and we were all cool.
Yeah. The design was just really bland and awful.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
And you spent, like, a good 5 minutes trying to figure out what house you were supposed to be at, because they all look exactly the same.
Yeah. Spoilers, it turns out you're supposed to go to the church, for any Lagoon players out there.
Yeah. So if you can figure out which one is the church, you win.
Yep. God, I don't even understand how I don't even understand how I own something like that.
I know, yeah. I want to know where that came from.
from a garbage pit. We also we did something else this weekend, though. We actually met up, and we went and saw... So we went to a concert.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a show.
Yes.
That was quite the experience. It was not what I was expecting.
Okay.
We went there to go see Anamanaguchi,
yeah.
Who, if you don't know, you should immediately become familiar with. They did the Scott Pilgrim soundtrack. They mm-hmm. actually, I think that's the only thing that
the Scott Pilgrim video game.
Yes, sorry, soundtrack for the Scott Pilgrim video game. Released a couple of other albums there, a fun pop-punk kind of guitars, drums, and chiptune band.
Yeah.
And we went to go see them at... Well, okay, how about you describe what was going on?
Okay, so it was at the Aragon.
Yes.
In Chicago. And they were part of a show with a bunch of other peoples who I wouldn't associate with them.
No.
There were, I think, two DJ sets before them. And then they opened for this guy, Dylan Francis, mm-hmm. who I guess does a lot of electronic dance music.
Yeah, I guess he's popular if he's headlining at the Argonne.
Yeah. But his light show was crazy.
Oh my god, it was fucking incredible.
Seizure Central.
The music was just kind of whatever. It was...
Yeah.
Yeah, we're young old people right now, because
right?
I feel like...
Yeah.
What...
This is what these kids like today.
Yeah, it feels like that, because essentially... I mean, especially like coming from an audio perspective for me, what it is, mm-hmm. It's a lot of, like, very low, subby music
mm-hmm.
that's got a lot of fucking bass energy thrown into a gigantic system played very, very loud.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Which isn't what we went there for.
No, not at all.
We went there for fun, good chiptune times.
Yes, and the weird thing is that Onomatopoeia sort of altered their style to suit the crowd, which is smart.
It made sense for the show.
Yes.
They fit in with the show.
But... For us, we were kind of like, oh, okay, this is... Why are you guys playing bassy dance music? That's weird.
I think they were better than anybody else, though, because they were on a Onomatopoeia.
That's how I feel, too. But
I don't know
if everyone else agreed.
What did they play? They played Endless Fantasy.
They played Endless Fantasy, Meow, Helix Nebula, and Prom Night. I think those are all of their original songs that they played.
Mm-hmm.
They did do a very awesome cover of Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yeah, that was actually really good.
That was fucking amazing.
And they covered Matt and Kim.
Yes, Overexposed, I believe.
Yeah.
God, that was fucking fun, too.
That was great, yeah.
Yeah, so just, like, going in there to see them, like, especially at the end of our semesters.
Yeah, I had a good
great.
Time. I thought it was
a lot
awesome.
Of fun. Yeah, and then we went back to my house, and we watched all the extra stuff from Indie Game the Movie.
Yeah.
All the special edition prologue stuff, I guess.
And then when I got home, one of my Twitter friends tweeted at me, hey, thanks for telling me about Indie Game the Movie. I just watched it for the second time, and it's great. And then after that, Indie Game the Movie tweeted at both of us.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, they were like, wow, thanks, Lauren, for liking us. And Mike, thanks for the recommendation.
Aww.
And they, like, favorited and retweeted a bunch of our stuff.
Aw, that's so nice.
I know. So then I just tweeted at them, thank you for making the best film ever.
Those nice
Let
Canadian
me love
folks.
You.
Yeah.
They are Canadian, aren't they?
I believe so.
Yeah. I consider that like the gold standard
for documentaries.
Film.
Yeah, no, that's
so
it's a very well done documentary.
And the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Love. Jim Guthrie.
I feel like I need to check out more of Jim Guthrie's stuff, because I only know
he
him...
Yeah, he does do good things.
Yeah, I only know him from the soundtrack for the game that you just mentioned that I can't remember. Fuck.
Yeah, Sword and Sorcery.
Yeah.
Super Brothers.
And that is just an excellent fucking soundtrack.
Yeah, that's really good.
So I feel like I need to spend some money on Bandcamp.
I'm actually
Bandcamp.
Getting that for Christmas.
Ooh.
The soundtrack.
That's nice. I think I'm definitely getting... Wait, hold on. This doesn't even matter. This doesn't even matter. Do you know why?
Why?
Because my father texted me last night. He texted me something.
What did he text you?
It was about midnight, I think. And he essentially said, hey, okay, I don't know if you're awake, but I just wanted to tell you that I just played with a 13-week-old Siberian tiger cub in the snow.
What?
So... Reasonably so, in all caps, with a question mark and an exclamation point at the end, I just went, excuse me? Apparently, I don't know if you knew this, but there's this guy in Lockport, I think, who is literally called the Wolfman. And he is called this because he has this ranch of like semi-wild, semi-exotic animals at his disposal.
Oh my god.
And I think he runs like, I don't think it's a petting zoo. I would not call it a petting zoo. I think people pay him some stuff and they come, they see these animals up close and he like wrestles a bear and it's all good and fun.
What?
He met him at a bar. He lives like right down my street. Like, you know how wow. I live off of Farrell? If you keep going down Farrell, that like where it ends, that's his house.
Huh.
So my father got to play with a fucking tiger cub last night, and I'm incredibly jealous.
That's amazing.
He's like, yeah, it was awesome. He was like biting my arm and shit. It was great.
What?
Yeah.
That is such a weird thing to randomly happen to a person.
My dad talks to a lot of people. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that happened. And I want to fucking use that connection to go do the same thing. Because that would be amazing.
So, wait, what was the connection?
Why were there we was there was no that? Connection. I just realized that it was a thing that happened and needed to tell everyone about it.
That's totally fine.
Yeah.
Siberian tiger cub.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Just had it.
And it's, like, cool for this guy to own all these animals in Illinois?
Fucking apparently. I guess so.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah, that was the showstopper there.
Yeah.
So we got a couple... Is there anything else we want to talk about? We got a couple chunks of news things. So.
How do I follow Siberian Tiger Cub? How do you want
we
me
don't.
To do that?
This is where we should end, like, the podcast series.
Jesus. No more podcasts because Siberian Tiger Cub.
A common occurrence.
Yes.
Frequent ender of podcasts.
Is it?
So then, I need you to talk about the YouTube thing that you have up. I need to, because I heard, like, vague, ghosty, wispy, like, things about how the sort of user terms changed and how YouTube totally got overhauled a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm still familiarizing myself with this, but apparently there was, like, a big sweep of like people who put Let's Plays up on YouTube.
Sure.
So this is like a big thing. There are a lot of gaming channels and people who make money off of the ad revenue on their Let's Plays of games and their commentary on games and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always kind of been this precarious precipice of legality.
In terms of they're technically making money off of content that they did not create, nor do they technically own.
Right, but a lot of game companies are cool with it because it's like they don't have to pay for advertising and they're getting all of this.
Right,
it's a community. It's a media, almost an industry, just based around playing video games on the internet.
Yeah, it's this nice symbiotic relationship between, you know, the user and the company. Company gets free marketing, user gets ad revenue.
And some companies get that, like Blizzard and Ubisoft and Capcom. Mm. And some companies don't get that, like Nintendo.
Yeah.
And they are really, really strict about people putting footage of their games up online.
Mm-hmm.
So recently, YouTube... started, like, they were supposed to start changing things starting in 2014. And so I guess they did that early. Surprise, everybody. And a bunch of people who do these Let's Plays and stuff went into their YouTube accounts to find a bunch of their videos, instead of giving them revenue, were giving revenue to third parties.
Ooh.
Which really, really sucks for that to happen to your videos.
Mm-hmm.
And like even big people who like are signed on to Machinima and stuff, they've been hit
really?
With a ton more claims than they would be. Let me find it in this article. It might have been Total Biscuit. But somebody was saying that whereas before they would receive like one or a few of these copyright notices a week,
mm-hmm.
they're now seeing like hundreds of them every day.
Wow.
Which is insane. And there's like companies that have nothing to do with the game footage are putting up claims against them.
Really?
And it's just looking like a really bad situation.
Now, is this happening from, like, game to game, from company to company, or is this just an overall big blanket sweep of anyone who has been playing games being hit with this shit?
I mean, I haven't looked into it close okay. enough to determine whether that's the case, but mm-hmm. It seems to me like it's... I mean, sometimes it seems like it is this big blanket sweep, but, I mean, that's what everybody's branding it as. So I don't know if any companies, like, haven't been involved in it, but, yeah, it seems like it's just everybody, and it's just huge.
Well, that blows.
Yeah, it does blow. And, this has always kind of been the situation that we've been in with YouTube, because, I don't know if you remember, a few years ago, the giant-ass lawsuit that Viacom brought against them.
I don't.
With, okay, so, like, people would upload pieces of shows, and Viacom got angry about that.
Oh,
and they were like,
okay.
Hey, YouTube, maybe you shouldn't exist anymore. Here's, like, a bunch of money that you have to give us.
Oh, shit.
And it was crazy. And so, ever since that, YouTube is like, hey, let's maybe tell people to stop doing that and crack down on our users, because we don't want to get sued into oblivion again.
Sure, sure.
And so, you know, everybody is always mad at YouTube. The music industry is always mad at YouTube. The games industry, some of the games industry is mad at YouTube. The film industry is mad at YouTube. But it's always been interesting with Let's Plays, because uploading a Let's Play is different than, like, uploading an entire movie.
Yeah.
Because a Let's Play or commentary on a game that is uploaded to a gaming channel isn't just trying to make money or popularity off of what is already popular or big.
Right, right.
It's a medium. It is a creative thing. It's a thing that people do, and it's clearly a thing that people want to see, because these gaming channels and these Let's Plays have millions and millions of subscribers and millions of views.
Mm-hmm.
And some people see that, some game companies see that as a bad thing. They see them as leeches. And some game companies, you know, get it, that these people are like journalists and artists and have a place in this industry.
Right. I feel like Let's Plays are at their sort of like peak of popularity right now, too.
Yeah, yeah. The past few years, they've really been growing, and now they're just huge Let's Plays. Like Total Biscuit, he has like 1.5 million subscribers.
Right, right. Some of the biggest...
crazy.
Some of the biggest people on YouTube are just ones who do those Let's Plays. I mean, they do other stuff, too, but...
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they really do hold the largest amount of subscribers in some cases. It's interesting. I never...
Yeah.
It's like really looking back at... I don't know, like, a couple of years ago, I never thought that this would, like, be the case. Like, hey, like, one day, Let's Plays are going to be, like, what's, like, some of the biggest reason that people, like, turn to YouTube. I'm like, that's... Huh.
I know, and I never would have thought that, like, the new consoles that came out would, like, include this option, like, hard-coded into them to put your game footage online.
Yeah, yeah. Been seeing more of that too. People, like, people on Twitch streaming from their PS4s.
Yeah.
And that's how I found out that Knack is a boring game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I watched the guy who had done the music for Minecraft, Daniel Rosenfeld or something like that. C418.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He was streaming Knack, and it was a very bland game in terms of mechanics.
That's a shame.
In terms of the gameplay itself, it was a beat 'em up, and that was fine.
Oh,
so.
All right.
So don't get that.
Don't do it.
Don't you do it.
But I think, does the PS4 have the capability to record and then upload it to YouTube?
I am not sure about that.
I feel like it does, and if it doesn't, then it's coming.
Mm.
And I think the Xbox One has that too.
Okay.
Or either has it or will have it, because not everything was available at launch for either console.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on either of those. It was funny. We totally, like, missed the the whole console launch thing in our absence, which, you know what, I'm not totally...
That just wasn't going to be an option.
Yeah, I'm not 100% upset about that, though, because it's the same shit that always happens whenever consoles launch. Some people are upset, some people really like their new thing.
Yeah.
Launch games aren't as good as people thought they were going to be, brah, brah, brah. It's kind of like...
Pretty much.
It's the same sort of end-of-the-year bullshit that we're seeing now. It's like, hey, like, what's the big news? Oh, nothing? Oh, like, every site's doing a top 10 or PC games of... or best of 2013 games for... PC and console and handheld and stuff? Well, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Good thing we got interesting things like my dad playing with Siberian tiger cubs to keep this podcast rolling.
Exactly.
Could do
thank your dad.
Yeah, we'll do. Everyone, hey, everyone thank your dads.
That's right. Even if they don't get to play with fucking tiger cubs.
God, so jealous. So fucking jealous.
That is so weird. So yeah, back to thing.
Back to it's, relevant things.
it's interesting to see, like, the people who make the consoles acknowledge that this is a thing that it's cool to do and that people do and that people want to do, and so it's a part of our consoles. And then to see some game publishers still be like, no, that's not okay.
Yep. Yeah, no, it is interesting.
It's and we'll sort of situation.
We'll sort of see where that goes in the coming months, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, anyways, let's see. What else we got going on? Oh, this is delicious. This news story. So I guess let me just pull this up real quick. There's a quote or two I need to read from this.
Oh my god.
So essentially, so even if you haven't played BioShock Infinite, such as myself, you understand that big portions of the game have to do with, like, not political parody, I don't want to say, but it does, they do present, like, some political ideas. The first two were kind of based around this, this Ayn Rand type of, idealistic society. I have not played in full any of these games, but the themes are there. Like, you understand that it draws...
Yeah.
In some part from, like, you know, these kind of political ideas. And that makes for a very interesting game. So, from what I could gather, BioShock Infinite, the world of Columbia, is based around this sort of society of people who are kind of, like, cultishly fetishizing the Founding Fathers and, like, everything that they stood for.
It's
and,
like ancestor whole... worship.
Yes, yes. So... There's this image of...
Oh, man.
So it's George Washington holding the Ten Commandments and the Liberty Bell, and above it is a banner that says, "For God and Country," and around him are a bunch of, I guess you would call them foreigners. There are very horrible depictions of, like, an Irishman and some, like, I think there's some Chinese people in there as well. I think there's... a stereotypical, like, Mexican man with a sombrero.
Yeah.
And underneath it, it says, "It is our holy duty to guard against the foreign hordes." Now, you could, if you knew that this is from BioShock Infinite, you could say that this was definitely satire and parody and sort of an idea to just sort of explain how nuts this society is. It paints that picture very well.
That's the purpose of BioShock Infinite, and that's the perfect the purpose of this imagery in the game.
So... not all people know this.
Apparently.
Some people include a very specific Tea Party organization called the National Liberty Federation.
Mm.
They saw this picture and went, "Hey, you know what? I like this. This is good." So this group that is almost up to 100,000 sort of likes and members and stuff on Facebook posted up this image. And... they don't understand the irony that's, like, taking... Oh, my God.
So perfect.
It is
so
good.
Oh, that's
so
perfect.
It's so, so good.
Oh, my God.
They don't...
I love it. I know. There are no words. How do,
like,
you...
No, the story, like, paints the picture for you itself. Oh, I mean...
it's so fantastic.
They removed the post, allegedly. they chose to respond to the backlash with, let's see, I think I got the quote here. "We were literally flooded with new people not only laughing at us, which we expected, but also congratulating us on seeing things differently and having the guts to post it." It's time they heard the other side of DC politics, and if our plan works, we should be gaining many new readers now that they know we're here.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Amazing is a word for it.
If their plan works, they will be seceding and floating up into the sky any day now.
Yeah, they're pretty hard right individuals. I guess I looked through a couple of their pictures, and it's a lot of anti-Obama and like how Obamacare is the worst thing. I think there was a picture specifically if Obamacare showed up in the crates at the Boston Harbor, they would have thrown the crates over into the harbor as well or some shit. I don't know.
That doesn't even mean anything.
No.
Whatever. So, yeah. There you go.
I don't know if there's a whole lot more to say about that story. That's what happened.
That's a great headline, though. The Tea Party doesn't understand BioShock Infinite.
Yes.
Conservative group confuses satire with propaganda.
Hey, that's their fault for trying to understand those goddamn video games, all
right? Right.
The devil's tool.
So this is just too, what am I trying to say? This just sort of is to the merit, I guess, of Ken Levine and his team for their ability to perfectly create satire.
Yeah, I wonder how he feels about that.
Yeah,
genuinely.
I'd be interested to hear from him.
If he was smart, he would say nothing.
On the line now, we have Ken Levine.
Oh, hey guys, I'm Ken Levine.
Oh, hey Ken, you sound weird. What's up?
It's pretty cold over here. I got a throat cold because it's winter time.
You got a throat cold in the winter. Where is it you live again, Ken?
Seattle.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's pretty cold there, huh?
Enough, yeah.
Why do you sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I prefer not to talk about it.
Okay, Ken, well, we have to let you go now. We'll let you go.
I don't know how to shut this off.
Well, we'll just cut your mic. It's cool.
All right,
let's
do it.
Away. Ken Levine, everybody.
Man, Ken Levine.
That was so weird.
What a guy.
He just showed up out of nowhere.
So nice.
Shame we didn't ask him any questions while he was here. Why didn't you say anything to him, Zach?
I was just in awe of having him on the show.
Oh, yeah.
I look up to him so much. I got sort of like, fangirly nervous. Uh-huh. I couldn't say anything.
Yeah, you were nervous. Yeah, that's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
So the Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
From what I could read before, and again, this I do not know how old this news is. We're way behind on our news.
It's not too old. It's at least a week old, I think.
Right. So initially, Oculus Rift got funding through Kickstarter, $2.4 million, and had actually received funding they do not specify how they received the other funding. I don't know if it's just like through a site, through a PayPal, or through other business practices. But overall, like, raised $16 million in funding to start like the Oculus Rift project.
That's a lot of cash.
Yeah, pretty great amount of cash.
Good amount.
However, it is nothing compared to how much money they have just received by this guy called Andreessen Horowitz.
Oh, it's Andreessen Horowitz?
Yes.
Oh, I know him.
Yes, that is because he is donated to a lot of other cool things, such as like Twitter, Skype, Pinterest, eBay, Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of stuff like that. So he just threw them $75
million. $75
million. 75 and then six zeros.
Yes.
Million dollars.
That is many money.
Yeah. So he's commented saying that we believe that Oculus will not only alter the gaming landscape, but will redefine fundamental human experiences in areas like film, education, architecture, and design. Oculus is at the tip of the iceberg in its potential, and we're incredibly excited to see them change the world. And that sounds very up in the clouds, but when you really think about the potential of, a consumer level virtual reality headset, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of applications.
That's crazy.
It's just starting out, and it's really only being used for video games and like small experiences and stuff. But like, this could be applied to so many other, like, this could be applied mm-hmm. to, like, therapies.
Yeah, totally.
And, like, all kinds of things. And, like, he said, like, I think, like, training for architecture and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you,
so many interesting applications that we haven't even thought of.
Yeah, I could see it being, like, utilized in classrooms and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And this thing just, this is so awesome. This thing came out of nowhere at CES, like, 1 or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it just took the whole thing by storm.
Mm-hmm.
And people loved it, and now they have $75 million to do what they want.
Yeah, right. And isn't the...
Crazy.
I forget, what's the price of one right now? Isn't it like $300?
That sounds right, but
I feel like I saw that number. I feel like that might be right. Let's check that real quick. I want to fact check that. So not that anyone's going to... No one listens to this podcast and they'll be like, oh, man, you fucked up a number. But I just like being accurate. Let's see.
It is $300.
All right. So it's $300 right now. So if they create like a sort of scaled down, like... they don't even have to create a scaled down version of that. If mm-hmm. like schools will buy that, that's the price of like a shitty computer.
Yeah,
if this is used as like a teaching aid or used... in offices, or like $300 is not that much for a piece of technology that's doing what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's just the dev kit. So,
right. And like, again, this is very good. This is an awesome thing that's happening.
Yeah.
I want to see it being used more.
Indeed.
Yes. Okay. And anyways, last piece of news that we have, I think I don't know if I talked about this, before in terms of how much I thought the 3DS had sold. But mm-hmm. if I mentioned it on the show, I was inaccurate, because I had thought that they had sold over 30 million.
Oh.
What the article I read actually said was that they had over 30 million shipped, which is much, much
okay.
different.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess recently the 3DS passed the sort of 10 million unit milestone in sales, which is good. You know, the more 3DS mm-hmm. is out there, the better.
Yeah,
more street passes for us.
Totally.
you know, and it's just, you know, following the trend of popular Nintendo handhelds, sort of building up over the course of years. Going to play the long game, probably. Going to have a good library mm-hmm. to support it.
Yeah, yeah. There are a lot of really good 3DS games right now.
Yeah, and there are a few that have yet to come out, like Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is going to be an interesting one to watch.
Yeah. I'm hoping they nail the online with that just right, because it hinges yeah. on that. Completely mm-hmm. hinges on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause, and we probably mentioned it before, but do you ever try the, like, Brawls online at all?
No, I haven't had any experience with Brawl at all.
Fucking atrocious.
Yeah.
It took me and Dave, like, 20 minutes to finish a 5-minute match once. Because it just kept stopping. It was really, really bad.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Nintendo isn't someone with a, like, big history of online, are they?
No, absolutely not. Like, people saw that the Wii had online, and they're like, hey, good job, like, nice catching up.
And that didn't really happen.
No, and no one used it for online ever, because it was horseshit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was good for, like, Netflix.
Yeah, it's still very good for Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I would know.
You would.
I would. Ugh. Ugh, man.
Okay.
Sorry. It's early in the... it's not early in the morning. Yep, those are some noises. I gotta wake up, man. I gotta be productive.
It's like one, man.
It's... You know what? Time is relative.
Good. Okay.
Oh, fuck. Well, this is fine. It was good to get this out again.
Yeah.
For those still listening, you should expect some more content from us in the next month.
What?
Since we actually have time over Christmas break, we're going to get mm-hmm. together. We're going to do a couple videos. We're going to do some fun things.
Yes.
We've been probably mentioning this for forever, but we're going to have a video day where we just mm-hmm. churn out a lot of stuff. Should be a lot of fun.
It's kind of stupid for us to bring that up during the semester.
Yeah, I don't know why we thought that would be realistic during the semester.
Yeah.
But yeah, it will actually get done now. So you should expect some pretty fun stuff from us.
Woo.
Some pretty fun stuff from... Is that a sentence that makes sense?
Some pretty fun stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Thank
goodness. Wouldn't that make sense?
I don't know.
Gotta wake up, man.
I know. This coffee ain't doing shit.
Come on, coffee. It's a birthday.
Mike, you make videos on the internet, and they're pretty cool. Where can you find those?
I do. I just filmed and edited one this morning, actually, before we started podcasting.
What's it about?
Which was cool. You'll have to wait and see. It's about the internet and how there are a lot of bots. And okay. Some interesting facts about the ratio of humans to non-humans on the web.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So you'll be able to find that probably later today. Except it won't be today when this podcast goes up, but whatever. And that's over at youtube.com/vloganegan. And I've got another channel, youtube.com/eganworks, where I will hopefully eventually put some more like short films and production-y stuff up.
Woo!
Yeah.
Have you found out if you're able to put up anything from your school's like sort of TV thing up on YouTube
yeah,
at all?
Yeah, I think we're totally able to do that, and we want to do that soon. That'll probably go on another channel, because I made it with another person. I don't want to be like, hey, we're going to put this on my thing.
I'm going to reap in the rewards of this.
Yeah,
right.
That'd be kind of dickish.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's that. And I'm on Twitter. You can follow me at EganWorks. So yeah.
I'm on Twitter as well. I'm at Zach Bruin. I've recently changed my Twitter thing to private, unfortunately, because I went to a conference where there could be people who want to hire me, and I do not want them to see my tweets about various things, such as Christmas.
Yeah, employers hate Christmas.
They fucking loathe it.
Wait a minute, no one said you liked Christmas.
Denied. They have a big red stamp and put denied right on my resume, because that's how the real world works.
And also on your forehead.
Yes. But yeah, send me a request, and I will probably let you follow me, because I'm a gracious leader. We also, this blog thingy that we run has a podcast that you're listening to right now.
Yep.
If you don't know, we're on iTunes. So you can conveniently go subscribe to us, and you'll have access to a bunch of our episodes. It will be like this one, but not as good, because the new one's the best one.
Always.
We also have a YouTube channel that, oddly, the Adventure Time review, that's been blowing up.
I know. I don't know why.
When's the last time you checked it?
A couple weeks ago.
Well, I've got it up here right now. And we are up to over 1,600 views on that mother.
You're kidding.
No.
That's
isn't that fucking
insane.
Strange?
Insane, yeah.
I know. So, yeah, that's been blowing up, apparently. I guess people like the way that Mike edits things and that I review things.
I guess.
So.
I think we did a pretty good job.
The numbers say so.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And numbers are the only things that matter in creation.
Right. I was considering reviewing the new Adventure Time game, but after further review, it is a piece of garbage.
No.
Yeah, I really wanted it to be good.
Oh,
no, it's
man.
Awful. It's really bad.
Fuck, why?
I because someone fucked up.
No.
Yeah. So I'm not touching that thing.
That's disappointing.
Ever. It is. Because it looked like a hack and slash Adventure Time game, which looked great. A dungeon crawler thing where you can like level up and like put points into stats and have skill trees and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That sounded great. And someone fucked that up. So, yeah. I think Destructor gave it like a 2.5.
Oh, man.
Yeah, dude. Really fucking bad.
You suck, guy who screwed that up.
Yeah, right. I don't know if I'll be doing any more reviews. I would kind of like to, but I've had mixed feelings about reviews over the last like few months that maybe we could talk about on another podcast.
All right.
But yeah, what about all of our other stuff? I think we have a Twitter and a Tumblr as well.
We are all over the place, man. So the blog itself, which we haven't written anything on for ages, but probably will soon.
Yeah.
That can be found over at firstpersonblogsim.wordpress.com. And it's all over the social medias. We are on Twitter at FPBSim. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/FPBSim. And we are on Tumblr at fpbsim.tumblr.com.
And if you want to send any fan mail, we've got...
Or hate mail.
Or hate mail, or recipe mail.
Yeah, totally.
Or Christmas mail.
Yep.
Christmas cards.
Yep.
Christmas e-cards.
Mm-hmm.
You can send that to fpbsim@gmail.com. Let me know how Beyonce's new album is.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a listen to it after this podcast.
Okay.
We can compare our opinions.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Beyonce, man.
All right, we out.
Yeah.